All right. Well, good morning once again. Love one another. You know, I hope that you noticed again, as I've mentioned once every month at least, the two posters that are on either side of the door as you come into the auditorium. I would really wish that we could do that every single Lord's Day, every Wednesday, whenever we come into the building, just to remind us of our theme for the year. On the left, you see a sign that depicts the fact that we are all members of one another. And on the right, you see a sign that illustrates to us that we are to love one another. And there are, since the beginning of the year in January this year, we began this theme, the one another theme. And we've been teaching about the foundational understanding, our beliefs in the church, but at the same time, we have each month began a lesson. In January, we taught a lesson called We Are Members of One Another. That comes from Romans chapter 12 and at verse 5. So we being many are one body in Christ, individual members of one another. And then in February, we taught a lesson called that how we are to honor and prefer one another. We read from Paul, be kindly and affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. That was Romans chapter 12, also in at verse 10. In March, we taught a lesson, encourage one another and build one another up. We get that from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and at verse 11. Therefore, encourage each other and edify one another. Just as you were doing, Paul conveyed that commandment. And then in April last month, we had a lesson called Care for One Another, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 25. So now today, this is our first Sunday of the month of May, and I am compelled to bring a lesson to you that I actually originally planned as our last lesson. I may bring it again, who knows, in December, but originally I planned on preaching this in December, but I'm compelled to bring this lesson to you today. So therefore, our fifth lesson, following the pattern of being members of one another, today is called simply, We Love One Another. We've already gone through all these, and now we simply love one another. There's an old legend, if you will, written in antiquities by Jacobus Veragine, and it's just an old, quote, Christian writer. It is reported that he wrote that just before the Apostle John's death, that he wrote, when John was so old, so feeble, and so unmighty that his disciples sustained and bear him up in going to church. And as of times he rested, he said to his disciples, fair children, love ye together, and each of you love one another. The legend also says that John served in the church at Ephesus at that time till his death. And whenever he was asked to give a message, to preach, whenever he was asked to speak, he would stand up the best that he could with what strength he had. And he would simply say, little children, love one another. And then he would sit down. That's right. That was his entire message. And to be frank, I'm kind of compelled to do that today. Because our love for one another and for Christ and for this church, this body, is so important that all other things pale in comparison. And so we better get it right. We better get it straight in our minds and our hearts what love is and who we're supposed to love, how we're supposed to love, why we're supposed to love, and when we're supposed to love. Obviously, there is no way of knowing whether Jacobus's writing is absolutely true. It doesn't matter. Because it's what we do know that matters. Because God has told us, we know with certainty we are commanded to love one another. Period. End. It shouldn't be any surprise to us that love is the most repeated, the most repetitive command or word used in the Bible in that respect. You remember Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, what Jesus said about it? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. When we think about our love for one another, is it with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind? Is that what our love is? When we think about the church, is it with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind? Mark adds, with all our strength. Think about that. Jesus said in John 12, if you love this life, you'll lose it. He's trying to emphasize that our love, this kind of love, and we're going to talk about the kind of love, this love, it's not little. It's not selective. There's no respecter of persons when it comes to God's love. Right? Matthew 19:19, an easy number to remember. Jesus said, love your enemies. But this love is not a word to be casually thrown around. And it's a word that we should meditate day and night on for a long time. John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Listen, that's one of the commandments, to love one another, to care for one another, to build one another up in the most holy faith, to be members of one another. One body, many members, all connected at the hips. Actually, we're all connected by the heart. That'd be a better way to say it. We read this morning Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. We must walk in love, Ephesians 5 and 2. We have to have works through faith, love through faith, works through faith and through love, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. To be rooted and grounded in love, Ephesians 3 and 17. So, we want to start this lesson with that kind of a foundation about love. And we want to consider just three things about love. And then the lesson will be yours. Number one, from John chapter 13, verse 35. And if you youth are filling out those papers, by this we know, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Listen, the world will know us. They'll recognize us as a distinct, different church. Because of that fact, most of the world will hate us. Because we stand up for the truth, for righteousness, for the way of God. But Jesus said, by this all will know that you are my disciples. If you have love for one another. Again, we're going to talk about love, but that's what he said. This is how the world's going to know we're different. This is how the world's going to know those people at the Church of Christ. They're different. And listen, every denomination, I don't care what it is, when I was in the Presbyterian Church, the 200 and some members loved me. And I loved them. Of course, that's my nature. I'm thankful to God for that. I love everybody. And when we left that church because they weren't teaching the truth, it was with tears. Many tears. My wife and I both cried. We called every single member in the church directory and tried to talk to them about the error that's being taught in the church. And out of the 260 plus members, do you know, not one single person did anything less than say, well, you know, you're right, Dave. I see that. But this is my church and this is where I'm staying. They had a love for their church, not a love for their God. And they did love one another. They would do anything for one another. But not according to the truth. And so let's not be confused. Love isn't just belonging to the Church of Christ. Many people love, in many ways, other people. Their lack of love, though, what cuts them off at the knees is their not lack of love for God and His Word. And listen, we think about love for one another, and it's not because, you know, it's not because of the sign that's on the building. That's not how people know us. Part of it. But, you know, we talked this morning, there's a lot of congregations that have the exact same sign. But they're not the church. Because the only way to know if it's the church that the Lord bought and paid for with His blood, with His love, is if that church is what He commanded it to be. It's the only way. You can have any name you want on the outside. Doesn't tell you what's on the inside. And in the same venue, we can all wear the name Christian on the outside and not be Christian inside. It's not because we always ask what the Scriptures say that makes us the church. It's because we rightly divide what the Scripture says and practice that accurately. It's not even because we love the Lord our God first and foremost. Rather, it's because we demonstrate to the world that we love one another as members of one another and that we love God before all things. Doing so by showing the world that we care for one another, that we encourage and build one another up. Because we honor one another. Because we give preference to one another. That's how the world's going to know. And these spiritual attributes, let me tell you, they're not of this world. These attributes in the proper practice and reception are divinely given marks of our discipleship. That's what proves to the world that we are truly a possession of the Lord. And they all the commands of the Bible, everything that's taught is firmly planted in the love of God and in the love of His people. And when it comes to this kind of love, I don't think that it's a stretch at all to believe that this has got to be the most important subject for us in all the Bible. The second point, the fact is, without love, nothing else matters. Right? Jesus said in chapter 14:21 of John, therefore, if you love Jesus, if you love Him, you're going to keep His commandments. You think of that. Keeping the commandments because you love Jesus. And I would also add, because you love one another. Because I love my wife, I'm going to treat her with respect. Honor her. Because she loves me, she's going to obey me. And have that attitude, godliness. Because I love you, I'll do anything you need. You call me day or night, 24/7. I say that all the time, and I mean that. And because I love you, I'm going to be here for you. Test me on that. I'm not going to be at home when you're here. And it's not because I'm a preacher, not because I'm paid, because before I was a preacher, before I was paid, I was at every service with every member every year of my life. In fact, you can count how many times I missed the service on one hand. And it wasn't because I had something else to do. It was because I couldn't. You look again at Corinthians chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but I have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but I have not love, it profits me nothing. I think it's safe to say that our motives for doing things are really important to God. Why we do the things that we do is more important than the things we do. Okay? Why we do what we do is more important than the things that we're doing. Look at verses 4 through 8. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. Pretty important subject. And when I read that and I think of the first three verses, you know, I think of it this way. Although I talk about love, if I'm not showing my love through my care, my personal connection, my kindness towards my brothers and sisters, it means nothing. I think of it this way. Even if I attend every single service for the rest of my life, if I observe the Lord's Supper 52 times a year for 50 years, Lord willing, if I don't have love, I am spiritually dead. If I preach lots of sermons, if I teach Bible classes, if I evangelize the community, visit the fatherless and the widows, but I do it all because I'm getting paid as an evangelist and I don't have love. And I don't believe for one second that I'm going to heaven. The fact is, brothers and sisters, why we do what we do, whether it's coming to the assembly, whether it's visiting, whether it's caring about the feelings and emotions of our members, whether it's staying at home, whatever we do, it's why we do it that matters. Sarah Bates is not here today because she can't come. That's why she's not here. Hope Baker, with all her heart, wants to be here, but she cannot be here. That's why she's doing what she's doing. Why we do what we do matters more than what we do. And that's just as true. Listen to me. It's just as true if you say you love me, you'll keep all the one another commands. You say you love Jesus, you're going to keep His commandments. One of his commandments is to love me. And if you love me, you're going to care about me. You're going to care about how I feel. You're going to care about whether I'm up or down today. When I hurt, you hurt. When I rejoice, you rejoice. Isn't that what's written? It's all written by inspiration. With all that in mind, let's look at the third point. The third point, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Don't tell me, show me. Right? We've heard that. Be not hearers of the word, be doers of the word. We've heard that. Right? Jesus said, whatever you say, let your yes be yes and your no be no. That means if you say you're going to do it. If you're not going to do it, don't do it. Remember what Jesus said? John chapter 14, verse 21. He who has my commandments, he who has my commandments and keeps them. If you have the commandments and you keep them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. You want to be manifested? You want to see Jesus manifested before your eyes? Keep his commandments. Love him. Turn with me over to the book of Ezekiel. We want to look at Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 30 through verse 33. Ezekiel writes, as for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of the houses. Wouldn't that be great? Everywhere you go, talking about Jesus. Everywhere you go, talk about God. And they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, please come and hear what the word of the Lord, that what the word is that comes from the Lord. You know, go grocery shopping. Come here and let's talk about the word that comes from the Lord. Let's talk about my Savior, Jesus Christ, whom I love with all my heart. Verse 31, so they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear your words, but they do not do them. And when this comes to pass, surely it will come, then they will know that a prophet has been among them. People come. I want to hear. I love God. I'm not going to do it because I'm pursuing my own desires. I'm pursuing my own gain. What's good for me on Sunday morning? What's good for me on Sunday night? What's good for me on Wednesday nights? What's good for me Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? When you look at that, think about that. He says, so they come to you as a people do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they don't do them. What's wrong with that picture? Isaiah said, therefore, inasmuch as these people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips. Doesn't that sound pretty familiar? Matthew 15:18, Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. Matthew 15:8-9, rather. That's what Israel was guilty of. That's why they went into captivity. That's why they're no longer God's people chosen. That's why the members of the church today need to pay attention. Because today we are God's chosen people, a royal priesthood. They were hypocrites. And we're not talking about Israel, we're talking about us. Right? We are, quote, the new Israel. Peter tells us that. When Jesus said, my little children, let us not love in word or tongue, but in deed and in truth. That was words for the church. Right? Paul in Romans 12:9, let love be without hypocrisy. We're not just saying the word, putting on a face, but there's action behind it. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. We're talking about one another. We're talking about being members of one another, being joined at the heart. Members of the body of Christ. And the truth is, it is so easy for those words, I love you, to come out of your mouth, my mouth, anybody's mouth. I hear people say that all the time. I love you. And that same person wouldn't give you the time of day if it wasn't in their benefit. It's easy to say, I love you. But when love requires action, just saying that doesn't cut it. When love requires action, are they really there for you? Do they really care if your heart hurts? Do they really care if you're sick, if you're hungry, destitute, if you can't pay your bills, whatever the... When, you know, love, when you say I love you, it means I'm going to give you my time. Do you give time? When loving means that that it includes financial support. Are you there when somebody needs that financial support? Assuming you can make that. When you say, God, I love you with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, and with all my strength. Are you there? And listen, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. The world will see right through a phony love. If we're not practicing godly love, the world sees right through it. Consider this, quote, Augustine wrote this, what does love look like? It has hands to help others. It has feet to hasten to the poor and the needy. It has eyes to see misery. And what it has and want, it has ears to hear the sighs and the sorrows of men. That is what love looks like. That is what love looks like. A sincere heart that hurts when others are hurt. It burns with desire to help. It yearns to comfort and to do whatever is necessary to remedy the pain or the sorrow of my brother or my sister. And like in Ezekiel, those people heard all that, but they did not have ears to hear. Their faces were turned away. Their hearts were far from the truth. and they didn't do the things that they were commanded to do, let alone the things they should do. Let love be without hypocrisy, Paul said. And in verse 10, he added, be kindly and affectionate to one another with brotherly love, honor and giving preference to one another. Romans 12:10. So then, let love be without hypocrisy. You know, that's what makes love real. Not just an external show that impresses people and eases our conscience. It's not a disguise that we put on. It's not something that's dishonest. It's sincere. King James, unfeigned and truthful. It's not flattery-filled words, but let it be manifested by acknowledging through our activity with one another our brotherly love. It's vital, critical, that our love for one another is genuine. Not merely something we force ourselves to accomplish in some legalistic way. So remember, there are times when speaking love may not be pleasant, telling the truth. There's three F's, right? Fight, flee, or freeze. And we can all do any one of the three when it comes to love. We can fight for it, do what we're commanded, love one another genuinely, unfeigned hearts, or we can flee from the situation, or we can just simply freeze up and ignore the words that we're hearing. It's our choice. Consider a few passages quickly. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted, courteous. Right? Love one another, brothers. Love one another, he said, as brothers. You see that? As a family. Brothers and sisters in Christ, love one another. It's a new commandment according to Jesus. It's a new commandment that I give to you, that you love one another, and I have loved you, that you also love one another. Listen, that was written 2,000 years ago. It's not new anymore. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. How did Jesus love us? He gave himself fully for each individual soul. Not partially, not occasionally, not just when it made fit in his schedule. Completely, fully, 100%. That's how Jesus, when it says, as I have loved you, that's how we need to love one another. No question that love is the greatest blessing from God that can ever be given to a family, a church, that one another relationship. And I imagine that the way that the church is designed by God to interact with one another, to love one another, to how we treat one another, that could be a foretaste of heaven, because it is going to be that way in heaven. And falling short of this kind of love, you know what? It creates problems. It causes members to be disappointed. Causes emotional pain. It creates a distorted view of what heaven is going to be like. And it opens the door for the devil to have access to your heart, so that he takes that little mistake and turns it into a lifelong study. What do we learn from this? Scripture teaches us how to react in love, how to reach out in love, how to care for one another in love, how to build one another up in love. Endeavoring to meet all the physical, emotional, spiritual needs of every member. Considering others greater than ourselves. When my brother or my sister falls, I want to be there to help them up. When they hurt, I want to be there to comfort. Whenever they need. Because that's as Jesus loved. Therefore, that needs to be my love. That's the way it needs to be. You can't claim love and not serve God, and you can't claim love and not serve one another. Brothers and sisters, there was a young man, as we close out our lesson today, there was a young man, and he was at home at night. It's bedtime. He's in his bed, and a thunderstorm come rolling in, and lightning flashes, and the sound of thunder everywhere quakes and shakes the house, and this young boy is so terrified, and he calls out to mom and dad, and he says, "Mom, Dad, I'm so afraid. I just can't take this. Please, would one of you come and lay down with me tonight? Comfort me." And his dad shouts down the hallway, "Son, you're okay. You just lay there, go to sleep, and remember that God is with you." Then there's a moment of silence. And the young man says, "Yeah, Dad, I understand. But I want some skin with that love." So my question to you is, do you have skin with your love? Is there something physical going on through the Spirit for your unfeigned love? And in the same venue, think about this. Jesus Christ loved you. He died for you. His love spans all your sins. And all He asks is that you love Him. You obey His command. Believe and be baptized. Put Christ on and then live as He commands. And if we haven't been living that way, if we need help in any way, shape, or form, that's why the church is here. We love you. So whatever your need is today, whether it's to be baptized, added to the church, or for some other kind of help, we're here. We have a song of invitation. "I am coming, Lord. Will you come today?" As we stand and as we sing.
I hear thy welcome voice.